So I think that's really, really good. Hey, open your Bible to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. If you brought your Bible with you, if not, you probably brought your phone, so you can look on your phone if you want to. We'll probably have them up on the screen for you. I want to talk to you about the blessing of the Lord. And it's really crucial for you to like have ears to hear, to get ready, to like be ready, to have ears to hear, because you have to make a decision. Now, when you make a decision to follow Jesus and say, I want Jesus to be my Lord and I'm going to surrender my life to him, not surrender your life to church, surrender your life to religion, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Jesus is my Lord. Anybody in this house say Jesus is my Lord? Like you know your life before Christ and then you remember meeting like he found you. People say, I found God, but God was never lost. And he changed your life. And then as you keep walking with him, he keeps changing your life. I'm so thankful that he doesn't just, you know, he doesn't give up on me. He keeps inviting me to growth. He keeps inviting you to growth. And as I've just been praying about a number of different things recently, he just keeps having me go deeper into this thing for myself and for my family, but I think also for us about the blessing of the Lord. I'm not talking about just being blessed. We say, oh, the blessing or be blessed. I'm talking about the most important part of the phrase, the blessing of the Lord is of the Lord. Because you can be blessed in different capacities and by different definitions. Like in the world today, people have all kinds of definitions about love, but I'm talking about the love of God or the love of the Lord. People talk about peace. I just need some peace. Well, you can get peace a couple different ways, but you can only get the peace of the Lord one way. People say, we just need unity. Well, you can get a whole bunch of unity between men or between, you know, people, but you can only get the unity of the Spirit from one place. So when we talk about the blessing of the Lord, he's been really pushing in my heart for me to like press into. And what does the blessing of the Lord look like in my life? What does the blessing of the Lord look like in your life? I mean, it's cool to say, what does it look like in Abraham? It's cool to say, what does it look like, you know, with Isaac and with Jacob? Because we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there's three generations that we can see his testimony right there. But what does the, and we need to see it here. We need to see what does it look like here so we can understand what it needs to look like here. This city is waiting, your family and this city, your children are waiting to see what the blessing of the Lord looks like in your life. So I want you to have ears to hear. I'm having ears to hear. I'm saying, Lord, do something in me. I don't want to just coast. I don't want to just ride something. I don't want to be a Christian that just goes to church and just let, you know, keeps the church thing, keeeps Sunday morning alive. I want to be alive every day. I want Christ moving through me every day. I want a blessing of the Lord that works not only on Sunday, but works on Monday. Yes. Works in every area of my life. And there's a difference. Oh man, let me just read this. Numbers chapter 6. Look at Numbers chapter 6. And I want, you know, last week we talked about part of this, and I just want to just go into this to this next part. And the Lord, look at verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, notice the word spoke. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say, notice spoke, speak, say. Everything in the kingdom of God is voice activated. Caitlin Aiken said that. She gets credit for that. Everything in the kingdom of God, because I taught her, everything in the kingdom of God is voice activated. Your words, life and death in the words that come out of your mouth and the words you say to yourself that never get verbalized physically, but they're activated in your heart. They're activated in your mind. And even though you didn't say it, you said it. So we're not just changing our outer voice, we're changing our inner voice. I just wonder what words, what things are you activating because of your words? So what we say is important. What we say to ourselves and to others, what we say in any given circumstance is important. Here's the problem. Sometimes the circumstance changes what we say. But if we're going to be really kingdom-minded, regardless of the circumstance, we're still going to say what God says. That's how you know you've matured. That's how you know you've matured. See, if I can change something in your life to make you say something different, you're immature. But when things change around your life and you still say what the Word of God says, you're mature. So he's saying, say to them, the blessing of the Lord, it's his blessing. I want everything that's of him. Anything that's not of him, the blessing of John Aiken, I don't want that. That's overrated. The blessing of a denomination, overrated. I want the blessing of the Lord, but the blessing of the Lord, listen to me, it's voice activated. Now, when you begin your relationship with Jesus by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that he is Lord and God raised him from the dead, that's how you get saved. You don't just get saved by walking up in church. You don't get rich by walking up to a bank, unless you got a gun. That's bad. So the reality is that just because you're in church doesn't mean you're a Christian. So when you gave your life to Christ and you surrendered your life to Christ, that was voice activated. You believed and then you confessed. You believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth. That was voice activated. And when you're saved, Jesus gives you the blessing. He gave you the blessing. He gave you his relationship with the Father. He gave you the blessing of the Lord. So everything we're talking about is how do you become who you already are? How do you walk in what you already have? How do you experience what Jesus already gave you? We're not doing something to earn something. We're not doing something to get something. We're doing something to release what we've already received. So there's things that you're doing that's blocking what God's given you. There's things you are doing, saying, and thinking. Let me say it better. There's things I'm doing, saying, and thinking that block some of the things that Jesus has already given me. And then I get frustrated. God, why aren't you giving me this? And he's like, I already did. I've already blessed you. Well, how come I'm not experiencing your blessing? Well, now that's a conversation we're going to have to sit down and talk about. Because you're saying some things and doing some things and thinking some things, believing some things that are not true. See, I'm telling you, our whole world with coronavirus and the elections have been turned. It's like just everything's like, it's like, where did America go? Where did like normal go? What happened? Like, what happened? Everything seems like it's changed. And what's happened, the pressure and the confusion has brought out the things that were just under the surface that were unhealthy. And that pressure brought out that thing just under the surface that we kind of just had it just under the lid. The unhealthy things, the ungodly things. And it just came up. And now we got to figure out how we're going to deal with this. And I think what the Lord has been speaking among a number of things, that what he's really been telling me is we are the people of God. We operate from a higher reality. We're not limited to what a government does. We're not limited to what a nation does. We are the people of God, and we need to position our hearts to learn how to walk in the blessing of the Lord, because Jesus died to give you the blessing of the Lord. And it'll be in your best interest and their best interest, even though one of them's got an attitude, in their best interest to learn what it means to walk in the blessing of the Lord. So where you guys end up walking in, say you walk in 80% of it, then guess where that's your ceiling. Guess where they get to start? Because the blessing of the Lord operating in your life, Not the seed not the seed blessing of the Lord that you have. You have all the blessing of the Lord that heaven has to offer. You have that in seed form through the blessing of Christ in your life. I'm talking about what you have cultivated, what you have brought into reality. Just like you can bring seed of sin into the reality of sin and go from zero to stupid really quick. You can bring the seed of righteousness and the seed of the blessing of the Lord, the seed of the word of God, through obedience, you bring it into reality. And so I'm saying we need to position our heart for you and your family and your business to really look at you. Stop looking at everything. Stop looking at everything and begin to look at you and say, where in my life, what am I saying? What am I doing? What am I thinking? You know, we talk about, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, let's back that up a little bit and say, what would Jesus believe? Because everything Jesus did came out of what he believed. So in this set of circumstances, what would Jesus believe? And I guarantee you it would come right back into alignment with the blessing of the Lord. Because this is eternal. All this is temporary. Guess what? Another 4 years, we're going to probably do the same thing. And if you stop and think about it, every 4 years, it's all the same stuff. But guess, we operate from an eternal, unshakable foundation. And when our families and our life and our business can operate from the blessing of the Lord, man, we stand on a rock. We're not building stuff quickly on the sand that has an image of something wonderful. We're building on a rock that has an integrity that can stand when the storm comes. It's the blessing of the Lord. And he says, you got to say to them. And I'm not even going to read the rest of it right now. I'm going to take my time in this. Just look at just 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. We're just going to look at that phrase this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. And talking about the blessing of the Lord bless you and keep you. So when God tells Moses to bless and say to Aaron and them, notice the delegation. When God says, I want you to bless them, it's technically not me blessing you. If I'm blessing you, then I'm the source of the blessing. I can bless you with whatever I have. So it's not like I can't bless you. I can bless you, but we want a better blessing than that, don't we? Yeah, and if y'all really knew, you'd be like, mm-hmm. I get to participate with God when I come into agreement with his mindset for you. I get to represent him, and the Lord, the blessing of the Lord comes upon you through me helping to activate it through my agreeing voice over your life. Meaning I agreed with God's blessing over you before you did. Would you bless a Democrat? Would you bless a Republican? Would you bless a Libertarian? Would you bless, and we've been at a family wedding in Georgia the last couple of days. I haven't looked on social media. I haven't looked on Facebook in 3 or 4 days. I don't know what's going on. Don't even tell me. Don't tell me. Later on, this afternoon, I might go look and see, because it doesn't matter to me. Honestly, it does not matter to me. Whoever is our president, I will speak and release the blessing of the Lord over their life. And I will pray for them. I know it matters. Don't misunderstand me. I know it matters. But in one sense, it doesn't matter. My responsibility doesn't change. It doesn't change. And if you believe something changed because the presidency changed, then I would call you to a higher reality and say that you are an ambassador of Christ, of a kingdom that there of the increase will have no end. And I know it changes things on one level, but on the word level and the spirit level, it doesn't change. And it's a great opportunity in the middle of an ever-changing world to continue to serve a never-changing God and be a rock and a foundation of his truth and operate and release the blessing of the Lord through your family, through your life, through your Facebook page. through your Twitter account, through your whatever all of the other stuff is, through your family, through your business, through your school, to say, you know what? I represent the blessing of the Lord. So the Lord bless you and keep you. See, it's for me to say that and live with that kind of mentality that everything God does in me, I want it to overflow and do in somebody else. And anything I see the blessing of the Lord in somebody else's life, I'm saying, God, you can do it in them. I know you can do it in me. They ain't no better than me. You don't love them more than me. So, Lord, I want to believe you. And will we suffer persecution and suffering and all? Yes, we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we don't need to fear no evil. The blessing of the Lord, you know, is on us, and the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. So what that means is if we're going to walk in this, you can't just walk in this halfway. You can't walk in this halfway. You have to be say at the beginning of it, you have to say, I'm all in. You got to say, I'm all in. And what I mean by all in is it's not just the blessing of the Lord on me. See, that's where people get mixed up. See, because there's a difference. There's a difference between the desire to become rich, which leads into a snare and a trap and all kinds of temptations. There's a difference with the desire to become rich and the blessing of the Lord. Those who understand the blessing of the Lord, it's just money. I'm glad I got it, but it's just money. It's not righteousness. It's not even success. It's just money. And the blessing of the Lord covers every area of my life, not just money. See, money won't heal you. Money won't save you. Money won't make you happy. And so the reality is there's a difference between the blessing of the Lord and the desire to become rich. And the Lord really checked that on me because I was like, you know, I want to increase, but I only want to increase in the blessing of the Lord. If it's not of the Lord, I don't want it. I don't want to increase in the blessing of John. I've had that before. There's a bitter aftertaste. I want the blessing of the Lord. But all that is in and of the Lord, I want to pursue it. And I want to seek him. And I want it to be of him. And I want to say, Lord, if there's more gifting, more grace, more potential, more promise, more provision, more that you want to do in me. If I'm all in, then I have the mentality of, Lord, everything you do in me, you do through me. Everything you do in me, you do through me. And so the blessing of the Lord on me is not just for me, it's for those in my life. It's for others. And so I want to seek all that the Lord has for me, not just for me, but for everyone that the blessing of the Lord through me will impact. Because I want to be an example. Look at me. If God can do it in me, come on. I know he can do it in you. If I can go from here to here, from this, you know, from that to this, from then to now, then God, you can do that to somebody else. And so if you're going to be all in, it's not just the blessing of the Lord on me. You got to go to a bigger mentality. It's not just, okay, I'd like to be out of debt, or I'd like to be this, or I'd like to be that. When you picture, you know, of what you think the blessing of the Lord is, you got to shatter that little box and image and go bigger. Because it's not just the blessing of the Lord on you, it's the blessing of the Lord through you. He's the source who makes you a resource to release his source. And when you have that kind of mindset, that Lord, let the flow of your blessing and the blessing of the Lord work through me. I'm a conduit. I'm a distributor in this pipeline. And Lord, what a joy it is. What a joy it is to watch you work. I got tickets. I get to watch you work. I got a front row seat. I get to watch you work. You know what? No one's watching me work. That's an overrated experience. I want to watch God work because I'm not desiring to become rich and then slap the blessing of the Lord on it. I'm desiring to have the blessing of the Lord. Because I had the blessing of the Lord, it's just money. So let me just Look in your Bible to Genesis 26. And guys, pull up the one where it says bless and keep. As you turn to Genesis 26, I want you to look at the Lord bless you and keep you. And I want you to see the definition of bless and keep. Bless simply means prospered by God. If you break it down to its root thing, it means prospered by God. So when the Lord, when it's the Lord bless you and keep you, it's the Lord's doing, it's not my doing, it's not my blessing. It's the Lord is the source. My shepherd is my source. So it means prospered by God and protected by God, preserved by God. So prospered means increase. Prospered is a biblical word. People have twisted it, and those who desire to become rich have twisted it into ungodly things, but it is a godly thing. Anybody who tells you God is not a prosperous God, they have been lied to. That's like saying God does not heal. There are whole denominations in the church that do not believe God heals. Well, they're just wrong. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord our healer. So he's a prosperous God. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And so I want you to get in your heart when we come into agreement with God, when I'm coming into agreement with God, that Lord, I want to walk in the blessing of the Lord over my life, and I want to have voice activated. I want to say to me and all the promises that you have for me, and I want to be a voice activation to other people to put my word in my mouth and put my word in their, or your word in my mouth and your word in their mouth. And I want to voice activate your blessing in everybody's life. I want you to see here in a few minutes the difference that it will make. The blessing of the Lord is not presto magic. God, you sit on the couch and eat bonbons and God just prospers you. The blessing of the Lord is he blessed the works of your hands. He gives you creative ideas that you need to walk out and obey. He gives you, you know, it's a partnership with the Lord. And so I want you to get that. Being blessed by God means I'm prospered by God in every area, in every area. So if all you see, the desire to be rich is if I just had this, and guess what? You get that and your family falls apart. That's not the blessing of the Lord. That's a snare and a trap of the enemy. And if you have millions, but you lose your own soul or lose your own family or lose your purpose because you chased a false God, your millions won't save you. And your millions won't bring you peace. But when you have the blessing of the Lord, you can balance all of it for the glory of God. And you can have millions, but millions won't have you. You can be blessed in every area of your life in the blessing of the Lord. So in Genesis 26, I said to get there, and I got to get there. Genesis 26, hang on a second. I want to look at the life of Isaac for a second and just show you some things. Man, this is so good. Whoo, I just get excited about this. And I want you to remember, when we talk about the blessing of the Lord, it's Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. The blessing, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. Well, it doesn't mean that struggle won't be added to it. It just says God's saying, I'm not going to add sorrow to it. There may be a struggle in it, and there will always be the blessing of the Lord will always bring increase, but the blessing of the Lord will always require your stewardship. There is no such thing as the blessing of the Lord, but he adds no stewardship to it. There is no such thing as the blessing of the Lord will make you rich, and there's no stewardship to it. There's always stewardship to it. Always. And if you're not stewarding what you have now for the glory of the Lord, what makes you think if you had more, you would steward that for the glory of the Lord? I used to believe the lie, Lord, if I just had enough, about 10 grand, if I just had a little bit more, God, whew, Preaching would be better. I'd be thanking you so much more. I'd give more. And then I found out the Lord really corrected me on this. And it's like, I wasn't being totally faithful with everything I had with my 1,000. So the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. But he always, there's stewardship always involved. And if you're not faithful with the few, you will not be faithful with the many. And matter of fact, if you're not faithful with the few and you get the many, it didn't come from the Lord. It came from the enemy. Because it's the quickest way for you to fail. Increasing somebody who has zero stewardship is the quickest way to fail. So Genesis 26, look, there's so much. Look at verse 2. The Lord appeared to him. This is talking to Isaac. Genesis 26, 2. I'm going to do 1-2 skip of you through the chapter. The Lord appeared to him, meaning Isaac, and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I will tell you." So notice that God is wanting, well, and he says in the next verse 2, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. Verse 3, yeah, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants, notice the blessing on you is not just for you. It's always to the generations. It's always to the generations. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. Notice I'm blessed. God's saying my blessing is working in your life. I'm going to be with you to bless you because of my relationship with him. And that's how the blessing of the Lord perpetuates all. How does it perpetuate? Whew. It just continues to increase, you know, through your life. And so he's given this promise to Isaac, but watch what he says. He says, "I'll give you this land, which I swore, you know, to your fathers." And then skip down to verse 12. Then Isaac, because God promised to bless him, God said that, hey, he's basically saying, if you walk in obedience to me and you let your life be voice activated by my word, that you don't do what everybody else says, you do what I say. If you go to the land and you live the life that I tell you, meaning if you obey me, it's always a condition. There's always a condition. To receive the blessing of the Lord, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ, and you receive the seed and the potential of the, you have the blessing of the Lord in seed form. But to activate it and cultivate it, and it has some fruit that multiplies, to experience the blessing of the Lord, you have to walk in obedience. Obedience unlocks the blessing of the Lord in your life. Disobedience releases the curse of your life. You are not cursed because you're not cursed in Jesus, but because you walk in disobedience, you open yourself up to the curse. And you live a reality that Jesus died so that you'd never have to live in that. And so this thing about Isaac in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped. Notice the stewardship involves sowing and reaping. God will not be deceived. He's not going to be mocked. And we don't need to be deceived that whatever a man sows, that is what he reaps. If you look at your life and you do not like the harvest of your life, my advice to you is to change your seed. Change what you're thinking about. Change what you're meditating on. Change what you're sowing in your life. And start coming to the seed of the word of God and start sowing through obedience and faithfulness. Sow the word of God into your life. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in that land, which tells us the two major responsibilities of stewardship of the blessing of the Lord. Sowing and reaping. Neither one is automatic. You got to know how to sow. You got to know how to reap in the blessing of the Lord. And we'll talk about that part later, but I want you to see how the Lord, you know, worked in his life. And so he sowed and reaped in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. In one year, in that same year, God said, I'll be with you. I'll bless you. And in that same year, he blessed him 100-fold. Anybody want some of that? And so, yeah, all of a sudden you're interested. Look at verse 13. Watch this. This is what the God is asking. God, what are you inviting me to? I always pray and surrender myself to the Lord. Not my will be done, but yours. And I pray, Lord, what are you inviting me to believe you for this season? And this is what he spoke to me. Then the Lord, or the man, began to prosper. That's where you start. Continued prospering until he became very prosperous. See, I wanted to start off at the very prosperous part. That's why I was like, I'll just start there, Lord. Doesn't work that way. If you're faithful with the few, he makes you a ruler over many. And for my benefit, not yours, I just declare in Jesus' name that the Achan household is beginning to prosper. We're the lenders, not the borrowers. And that we'll continue to prosper. What does it mean to continue to prosper? See, what does it mean to begin to prosper? Change your seed. Stop desiring riches. And start desiring the blessing of the Lord. Begin to prosper. Stop doing the ungodly things, the unwise things that you've done. Repent and come back to the word of God and be faithful and be obedient to what God says. Stop living by impulses. Stop living by what you feel. Stop living by what you've always done in the past. Stop living with a victim mentality. Stop living with it's everybody else's fault. Stop living with I need the government to take care of me. Stop living with all that mentality and start living with the mentality is God, the Lord is my shepherd. And my shepherd is my source and I shall not want. And I'm going to repent. And I'm going to stop doing the things I need to stop doing. And I'm going to come back to the word of God. I'm going to start doing the things I'm going to start doing. And I'm not going to have the mentality, well, I will if you will. No, I will. And it's not, well, I will if God. No, I will. I will. And then, so that's begin to prosper. The continue to prosper is once you start doing these things, once you start walking in the Lord, you start, the blessing of the Lord starts to increase in every area of your life, the enemy will attack every one of those fountains in your life. The enemy will attack. Your flesh won't like it. So anybody ever had a grumpy flesh? Yeah. Yeah, you've had a real grumpy flesh. Your flesh and your old you will rise up because it won't be comfortable anymore. You'll be like, wait a minute, what you doing? What you trying to do? We don't do it like that. And that's where you got to take authority over that and be like, look, you stop talking because we're operating under a new system. We have a Lord. You're no longer Lord. You have been dethroned. You have no authority in this house any longer. So you get behind me and you watch all that the Lord is going to do through my life. And so you ain't leading me no more. No, you ain't leading me no more. And you voice activate the kingdom of God in your life and his rule and his reign in your life. Continuing to prosper is when that flesh comes up and the enemy comes up and all of a sudden you hit seasons of persecution or famine and everything that you believe God invited you to and everything you believe that you were like, this is going to be great. And you saw the touchdown. Then all of a sudden you see the linebacker. And now you can't see the touchdown because you see the linebacker. And then, hey, listen, y'all, this kind of kingdom living is full contact sport. And all of a sudden, they ain't just talking and making threats. Boom, they're doing stuff. And the enemy's coming at you. And then you drop the ball or I drop the ball and we fumble. I don't like this. This ain't fun no more. I'm telling you, that's why I quit playing high school football. One of them jokers hit me so hard, I said, this ain't fun no more. I could just go get in car wrecks if I want to do this. This is not fun anymore. You know, playing tag was fine. And so some of y'all, this ain't fun. So what is it that causes you to fumble the word of God out of your mouth? What's the thing that has to happen that causes you to give up? I guarantee you, if you look back at your life, you'll see that's the attack. The enemy's done time after. Maybe a new relationship, same attack. Maybe another church, same attack. Maybe a different thing, same attack. I guarantee you, when the enemy knows what causes you to fumble, he'll use that thing every single time to get you to fumble. And what you need to do is repent and say, Lord, I'm gonna trust you, and I'm gonna you know, walk in your blessing and walk in everything, you know, that I have for you. And so once you begin to prosper, you continue to prosper, you become very prosperous. I wanna close out, and worship team, won't you go ahead and come on up? But I want you to close out. I want you to see this. I want you to see these scriptures. So you know Genesis 12, 1-3, which is Abraham. And God said over him, this is a paraphrase, but he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And in you, watch this, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So what God does in one, he wants to multiply and do in others. So in you walking in the blessing of the Lord, you let me bring my blessing over your life. It's not just about you. So don't get the big head thinking you all that in a bag of chips, because what I'm doing in you, I'm doing as a pattern and as a prototype and for other families. For other families. And then, did you look on the screen for this for sake of time? But Proverbs 11:11. So notice, the blessing on you is for you and your families. That's where the blessing of the Lord should be, on me and on my family. On me and on my family. The first part is to walk in the blessing of the Lord myself and bring that blessing of God and that mentality into my family. And that's a process. If I'm going to bring it to every family, it's got to start in my family. But then Proverbs 11:11 says the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the upright or the righteous, the city. Everybody say the city. The city is exalted. That means the city is raised up. That means the city goes from here to here. The city is raised up. The city is built up. So the person is built up. The family is built up so that the city could be built up. Because with God, the blessing of the Lord on your life is not just for you, and it's not just for your family. So we can sit here and hide in church and be blessed, and when the world is cursed, but God wants the blessed of the Lord and the people who carry the blessing of the Lord to release that blessing over a city. And when we say, well, they don't deserve it, neither did we. Exactly. Now, do they have responsibility to steward if they want to be a part of it? Absolutely. But we got to come into agreement with God to make the offer possible, to give the invitation with the heart of the one who sent the invitation. Imagine if I was inviting you to a wedding. Somebody gave me an invitation to invite you to a wedding. They want Robbie? Why would they want Robbie at a wedding? You know what Robbie does at weddings? Why? I don't know why they would want. It's not my business. They want Robbie at the wedding. And if I come and I'm like, man, here's this invitation, but I don't even know why they let. See, my attitude can contaminate the invitation. And so the blessing of the Lord on my life and the blessing of the Lord on my family, we now need to carry that with the heartbeat of the one who created the invitation and say, they want you at the wedding, man. I have their heart for you. And the church's biggest problem right now is our own prejudices getting in the way. I'll just speak for me. My own pride is getting in the way. I've repented of pride more times. Oh my gosh. I was like, pride, you're stupid. I just hate repenting of pride. But I have to, because I want to have his heart when I make this invitation. So the blessing of the Lord is on me, for the blessing of the Lord being upon the city. And then the last scripture is this. I love it. Psalm 33:12 and the Amplified. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his own inheritance. The blessing of the Lord on me goes through me to my family, from my family to the city, from the city to the nation. What is operating in you is affecting this city, is affecting this nation. I want the blessing of the Lord to be released. I want to be able to not just say, but live, the Lord bless you and keep you. That's our responsibility. And so what I want to do is I want to go into a time of worship of that. And I want you to really take this word in, not just today, not just right now, but I want you to take this word in and be praying and be seeking. Read Numbers chapter 6. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll break down some other stuff. And I want you to begin to say, Lord, you know, surrender to him, repent, whatever needs to happen. And be like, Lord, teach us how to walk in the blessing of the Lord. We don't desire to become rich, but we want to begin being prosperous. Some of you need to continue to be prosperous. And some of you are about to cross over into becoming very prosperous for the glory of God. And I just want you to really begin to seek that and say, Lord, and help me navigate this. Help me navigate this. What an awesome time to be part of the kingdom of God. Kingdom Americans. What an awesome time. And so we'll open up the altars for prayer here in a few minutes, but I want us all just to begin to seek the Lord. So go ahead and stand to your feet. And I want to pray as we go into this first song. And I want you to just respond. I want you to respond to the Lord. I want you to just, in worship, if you need to come to the altar and kneel, if you want to lay down on the floor, I don't care. If you want to turn around and make your chair an altar, if you want to just walk back and forth, I don't care what you do, guys. We're going to worship him and we're going to bless him. And we're going to, so listen, if you've been in churches where, you know, everyone was statues and they weren't loving on God, you need to just love on God and let yourself just open up to him. And if there's anything in your life that you need to repent of or you need to turn or you need to surrender, then come and just worship the Lord and let this word this go deep into your heart. So, Father, as we worship you and as we bless you and as we minister to you, we declare the blessing of the Lord, your blessing over our life, and just faith in that blessing and hope in that blessing and courage and the stewardship of obedience that releases and unlocks that blessing. Let all of that begin to just go deep into our heart, deep into our life. Lord God, change us. Change us. Those who are asleep, wake them up. Those who are stuck, move them, God. By your Spirit, God. Move us, God. Help us, God, as we worship you in Jesus' name.